This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There is so much going on in Washington that's influencing, or maybe not so much of an influence on the electorate. The IG report, the impeachment process, the re-engineering of NAFTA. A lot of discussion about Afghanistan and the military's role there. And joining us to talk about all of this is Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Happy to be with you, Noel.
Ron, in your Lunchtime Politics release yesterday, another poll having Donald Trump at 45%. It, you and I have talked about this at least a dozen times. It almost doesn't even matter what the breaking news is for him.
You know, it really has not seemed to matter as it relates to his job rating. It's been about 44%, 43% sometimes, 45% sometimes. And it's largely because the Republicans are holding firm for him. And, you know, about the same percentage, about 38 or so, 39% of the independents are holding firm for him. So it really doesn't change.
I was kind of surprised that his average at this juncture in the first term was 2 percentage points higher than Barack Obama's.
It was. Obama was at 43% at this point in his first term. So, you know, and presidents have different times where they have ups and downs. In Obama's case, he started off his presidency very high, and then his numbers sort of went down. And then right before the election, they moved up to about 50, 51%, which was the vote he got. But as it stands now, he and Trump are polling about the same at this point in their presidency. Now, other recent presidents from Reagan and Carter and the two Bushes and Clinton were all polling in the 50s at this point. So you can see how it compares.
You know, Ron, I listened a little bit to the speech of the president last night. He has this uncanny ability of shifting the focus, putting up a smokescreen, and making actually the impeachment process something that tends to be more favorable to him than unfavorable in many respects. And a lot of people are buying right into it.
Well, he's a master of counterattack, of putting his attackers on the defensive. He's done it on everything. He's done it on Russia. He's doing it on Ukraine. He did it on quite a few policy issues along the way. And what he does is he has a great ability to muddy the waters. Now, his supporters will say, well, he's telling the truth and the other side isn't. And his opponents say, he's not telling the truth. But so everything is divided by along partisan lines now. The Republicans seem to basically accept most things Trump says and does, and the Democrats despise everything he does.
It'll be interesting to see whether or not his numbers improve at all after the release of the Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General report, who's testifying before the Senate committee this morning. I happened to read through that entire report, and there were some pretty damning observations by the IG relative to the conduct of members of the DOJ as well as the FBI.
Yeah, and that's really, I think, the important part of the report. That and one of the sad things about it is that in recent years, the credibility of U.S. institutions, particularly national security, intelligence, and law enforcement institutions like the FBI, has gone down a lot, and it's become a very partisan matter. And this, you know, this is going to make it worse. And I was happy to see Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, yesterday sort of confront these issues head on and saying that it gives him, in effect, a roadmap to reform and to make improvements in the Bureau, which I think is the right way to look at it. But there's some big, big problems in the FBI and in public confidence in it.
The president refers to the FBI with some descriptions that are obviously not favorable by any stretch of the imagination, and I think really are uncalled for and inappropriate, quite frankly. Do you think that hurts him at all?
Generally speaking, I don't think it does. It might have at the beginning, but I think now he has his supporters on his side on that. And I think they see the FBI and these institutions not so much as law enforcement and national security organizations, but as highly biased partisan organizations. And that's a problem going forward for the country.
So when we think about, you talked about government institutions, one of the questions in the polls yesterday, overall, do you approve or disapprove of the way that the United States Congress is handling its job? I was, just really almost speechless over the 63% of the folks say they disapprove of Congress. 16% approve. And 14% are, I guess, ambivalent. They don't know if they approve or disapprove.
Well, that's been the case for a good while now, that heavy majorities of Americans, and in a lot of cases, both Democrats and Republicans, disapprove of Congress. In this poll, for example, the independents were most negative towards Congress, but even, both Democrats and Republicans are, because Republicans look at Congress as the House, which is controlled by the Democrats, and the Democrats look at Congress as the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans. So Congress really can't win at this point.
So as a result of the Mueller hearings, the impeachment process, now the IG, I kind of expected a little bit that the congressional numbers would worsen, but they've kind of held, and that's, I guess, why I should have qualify what I said earlier. That's what I was kind of surprised by, that they really didn't get measurably worse.
I thought so too, actually. But I think what's happening is that even though each party doesn't like the body of Congress that's controlled by the other party, they do like the body of Congress that is controlled by their party. So there's mixed feelings there. And I think that's what's coming across.
So when we think about what's going on in the presidential race on the Democratic side, on the Democratic nomination side, Joe Biden's been very defensive and really kind of in your face in defense of his son, Hunter Biden, and this whole issue around Burisma. I'm curious, how much longer is he going to go without just a plain, simple, straightforward, appropriate answer to that question?
Well, I think he's going to have to do it at some point soon. You know, it's one thing to become indignant, but it's something else when you're not explaining it. And I think that has started to hurt Biden pretty seriously. And of course, Biden's problem is that to explain the issue probably means saying some things that won't be very favorable towards his son. And I just don't think he wants to do that.
There was a poll that was released this morning, I believe, where Buttigieg has moved in front of Biden in New Hampshire. Is that the case?
Yep, that's the case, although it's very close with Biden and Sanders and Buttigieg running, just a few points apart. Most of the last round of polling continues to show Buttigieg doing very well in Iowa and New Hampshire, although he doesn't have he hasn't established a solid lead in either one yet, but he's doing well. But the latest poll that we're going to release today in Iowa actually shows Biden moving ahead there, which means that his no malarkey bus tour, which a lot of people in the press were snickering at, probably worked for him.
And that's where he actually attacked, verbally attacked, I should say, a voter there.
That's right.
That was... probably went two or three news cycles.
Right, exactly. And I'll tell you something else, Newell, that we're going to show today is some new polling on impeachment and removal. And it looks to me like this really isn't moving right now. It's been the same for some time. The poll we have today actually shows support for impeachment removals down slightly from a month ago. And I think that's becoming an increasingly difficult problem for Democrats. Even though pluralities of voters favor impeachment and removal, it's less than a majority. And the fact that they have no momentum in favor of impeachment removal, I think makes it difficult for Democrats for the long term.
Well, when you consider that the Republicans really haven't engaged and presented much on the House side, you could only think that those numbers are going to get worse, right?
Well, they very well could, you know. And, you know, the key to these numbers are really independent voters. And they're just not really moving very much. So, you know, something like impeachment really needs bipartisan support to some extent. But right now it's only getting, while it's getting about 84% of Democrats, it's only getting about 9% of Republicans and about 36% of independents, which isn't enough.
You also, yesterday, they polled this, is the country better off now than it was 4 years ago? The country's almost evenly split. 43% say better off, 44% better off 4 years ago, and 13% not sure.
That's right. And as most things are, it's split. When you look at how Democrats and Republicans are reacting, the Democrats say it's worse off and the Republicans say it's better off. Excuse me. So partisanship is influencing just about everything.
So when we think about the next set of elections, I think, as you've always pointed out, the most important category, independents, only 36% of independents believe that the country's better off.
That's right. And you know, independents are often forgotten at this stage of the presidential campaign because both sides are appealing to their base. But ultimately, it's the independents who sway these elections. And, you know, that's the vote that Donald Trump was able to move up in the last days of the 2016 election to win. So ignoring independents, you do that at your own risk.
We looked with much curiosity the reengineering of NAFTA and who's taking credit for what. Do you think that issue will bump numbers at all?
You know, it is hard to say because both Democrats and Republicans have supported it. We have a poll today that we're going to release that was taken before the activity of the last day, but shows that 49% of the American people are favorable towards the USMCA and 17% are unfavorable. Although it does show that more Republicans are favorable than Democrats, but a significant number of Democrats and independents join Republicans in having a favorable view. So it looks to me like it may be an issue that's kind of a win-win for both sides.
It was interesting. Nancy Pelosi made the observation that she was asked by many on a Democratic side of the aisle, why would we approve this, move it forward, and give the president a win? And I think, you know, that was, to me, a pretty good indication of how divisive we are now, that we would even think in that regard. You know, I thought it was about the country winning.
Well, that's the way everything is thought through in Washington now. It's about what are the political, you know, what's the political impact and not what's the policy point. And if Democrats didn't like the USMCA, they should have opposed it. If they think it's better for the country, they should support it. And regardless of whether that may help or hurt Donald Trump. And I have to say, to Nancy Pelosi's credit, she did that. And I think that was smart of her to do, even though some Democrats don't agree.
No, absolutely. Well, it's just a shame when you even are having that conversation, worried about whether or not the other side may be viewed as slightly winning or getting an advantage from it. I thought we elected these people to represent our interest. But sometimes, well, as long as I've been in here, I always say that I'm not sure that I can ever be surprised. But then I get surprised by some idiotic statement that somebody makes.
Well, sure. And, you know, when you go to Washington and talk to the people around Congress behind the scenes, you hear that all the time. In fact, if you would say what you're saying and I'm saying right now up there, they would look at you as an alien from space.
A two-headed Gila monster, as I put it.
Right.
Very often. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Noel.
All righty. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. Where are you on this impeachment process? Did you read the IG report? Are you moved one way or the other? We'll be right back. We want to hear from you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.